brought it up because we're going to talk about it a little bit this evening. Southwest Ministries. And it's pretty cultish. Arthur gave me some CDs the other day, a couple Sundays ago, and on the CDs are four radio messages, and each CD has two messages, and they're presented by the guy that runs a thing called Noah Hutchings, and he had a guest by the name of Tom Horn, and Tom Horn wrote a book called Nephilim Stargate, the year 2012, and The Return of the Watchers. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, and then we're going to do a little study on some of the things he said. I was going to bring the CD and let you listen to about 20 minutes, but I thought it'd bore you silly, so I didn't bother doing that. So I'm going to go over some of the things they were talking about. What he says is this guy by the name of Tom Horn was being interviewed by Dr. Noah Hutchings, who's supposed to be a Christian preacher. And they were talking about strange phenomena, UFOs, ufology, and future prophecy, and other prophecy outside the Bible. So, you know, as I listen to this, I keep thinking, boy, what a joke. There is no prophecy outside the Bible. But he took all these things and put them together. I'm going to give you the address, the telephone number, and the website, in case you want to get in touch with him. You can get the two CDs that I've got. I'm going to give those back to Arthur. He wants to give them to somebody else, unfortunately, because whoever he gives them to will probably fall for it. That's unfortunate. But I'm going to do it anyway. They belong to him.
Why didn't he give them somebody
who
speaks the truth?
Well, I probably shouldn't say anything, so I won't.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyhow, the phone number is 1-800. And I'm going to call them, by the way, and talk with them. 1-800-652-1144. The reason I didn't call them sooner is because I just finished listening to the last program, and I listened to it a couple times, but I wanted to get it all. And the address is P.O. Box 100, Bethany, B-E-T-H-A-N-Y, Oklahoma. Yeah.
So much good stuff in the Bible, and there's so little time. It's just like, why
is it wasting time? I know that. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And their area code or zip code or whatever it is 73008. And the website, if I got this correct, is swrc.com. swrc.com. Okay, he goes on to say, he says ancient Eastern biblical prophecies mixes pagan religions with biblical prophecy, and he goes along with this guy by the name of Tom Horn. He used to be a pastor of a church. Now he has another organization. I have it written down here somewhere. And my question would be to him, I probably won't be able to talk to him, but if you were a pastor, why did you quit? I can't imagine anybody quitting. Being a pastor. I just can't imagine that. But anyway, one of the things they got into and Noah Hutchings suggested, they were talking about Mount Horeb and Mount Hermon, which is the same thing. And this fellow claims, this Tom Horn claims, that people he calls the Watchers were the ones who were there and created the Nephilim in Genesis chapter 6. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a look at that shortly. And he said that the Watchers were there. Now, there's four places in the Bible where the word Watchers is mentioned, only four. And the Watchers are going to return in the year 2012 and create the same thing they did back then.
What's a Nephilim?
A Nephilim, we'll talk about that shortly. You'll see what a Nephilim is, what they say it is, and what it really is. Anyway, he says that they're coming back, the Watchers are coming back, and they created the Nephilim through DNA remember the boat? And you'll remember the incident when we touch on it, where God, the sons of God, took the daughters of men, okay? That's what he talks about. They used DNA to create hyper beings.
And he said that the mythology, concerning the Greek mythology, where you see the horse with a man's head on it, he kind of hinted that he believed that that's what the mythology comes from, that these Nephilim were created beings, and they were literally half man, half beast, half this, half that. Now, what he does say that I do agree with is our scientists today are trying to create a being, or any kind of a being, because they want to create life. They want to prove they can create life. I agree with that. And I agree that they're using DNA to do all kinds of things today, but I don't believe that the fallen angels had anything to do with it. Now, I don't believe the fallen angels, and he claims that they took DNA and used DNA to create life and did all of it. It's really far out. You will do anything to sell a book, won't you? Because there's money in it. And so, one of the things he said was, that the watchers are going to come back to Mount Horeb because it's 33 degrees longitude, and then he went to a lot of trouble to try to make a big deal out of number 33. And he's going to a lot of trouble to try to make a big deal out of number 2012. And he uses remember this old thing that you're probably all familiar with, the dollar bill where you've got the all-seeing eye and the pyramid and all this. Yeah. Makes a big deal out of that, makes a big deal out of the fact that the Masonic Lodge is behind us. That's all hype. Forget it. So if you order these tapes and you listen to this garbage, that's all hype. It's all it's just all garbage. And like Vince said, there's enough in the Bible to keep you busy without coming up with a bunch of junk. And then they used the Roswell thing, and I got the impression that they all believe in flying saucers. I don't believe in flying saucers. I believe flying saucers that people see are nothing more than demonology. Nobody's ever taken a photograph of one that is clear enough to even make out. Well, I believe the United States government does have things that resemble flying saucers that are fast. I believe in that stuff. But if the Bible doesn't listen, if you're teaching the Bible, you're better off not getting into that garbage.
Yeah.
You don't teach the Bible interacted with demonology. The Bible teaches against that all through the Bible, the Old Testament. Every time God talks about His law or His word, the very next thing He says is, stay away from that stuff. Yeah, it's sorcery, witchcraft, stay away from it. That's all it is. And anytime you hear someone talk about demonology, always mark this down. The next, when they try to compare it to prophecy, the next thing you'll hear out of their mouth is aliens from outer space. That's the very next. The two go together hand in hand when you get into the occult. So he goes to a lot of trouble on the number 33. And then he said the watchers left their plane of dimension. Their plane of dimension. In other words, he uses this new thing, Stargate thing. Oh, yeah.
It was a good movie.
Oh, yeah. It was a good movie.
That's probably and where they got that movie from.
Probably. But Stargate is just a gate that you go through to get from one dimension or one world to another. It's just science fiction is all it is.
So they actually believe that there's more than four dimensions.
Well, they do. Well, the spirit world is just another realm that we cannot comprehend.
You can't comprehend this world.
What's that? Well, I don't know. He uses, he seems to think that this so-called gate that he's talking about is near Roswell, New Mexico. Remember all the things that have been taking place? But once again, if you're into the Bible, you ignore all this stuff. But the sad thing is, so-called Christians are going to get these tapes and get this literature and get all worked up over it, get all wound up over it, and their lives will be opened up to demonology. That's what's sad. Stick to the Bible. And you know what God said in Isaiah chapter 45 and 48? He said, I have no secrets. Basically is what he said. I have no secrets. But mankind seems to think there's some great big secret in the Bible and we'll just pull it out and and so forth. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think some talk my mom about this. You know, people say that God works in mysterious. People say God works in mysterious ways. I don't think He does.
I don't think He does either.
Because He said He's not the author of confusion.
There's a lot of things that God does that you and I don't understand. And,
exactly.
But I don't think God works in mysterious ways.
They say when people say this.
Yeah. But that's human things.
Bible.
He says, watchers left their plane of dimension before emergence of biotechnology and transhumanism. Wow.
Watchers are aliens?
Yes. He says they're aliens.
Wow.
Yeah. He imitates, or he insinuates, rather, that these watchers were fallen angels, but also aliens. So what he's trying to do is mix. Yeah, he's trying to mix demonology and the aliens and the UFOs all together, and he's trying to make it all biblical. That's what I'd like to know. But there's no way that you can make any of that stuff biblical whatsoever.
Where did the fallen angels come from?
Well, he knows where the fallen angels come from. He knows that.
Well, that's outer space, right?
Well, no, not really. The fallen angels didn't really come from outer space. Fallen angels had the ability to be anywhere at any time.
Where's the third heaven at?
The third heaven's in I don't have any idea. I've never been there.
The throne room, right?
It's way past outer space.
Where God lives.
All I know is there's a place where God dwells that the angels, that the fallen angels and Satan are not allowed. You and I are not allowed there until we're dead. I have no idea where it is. I don't know what it looks like. And all I know is it's a perfect place. That's all I know about it. But I don't know if it's through Stargate or I don't have any idea.
When Lucifer and the angels fell, that's when the earth became void, right?
I believe so, yes. I believe that. And if you go through the Bible and do a good study on it, I think that'll be the conclusion, yes. That's when the earth became dark and void.
That's when they were cast to the earth.
Right, exactly.
What's that?
They were put here.
Yeah. I believe God created the earth for Satan and his angels, sort of like a playground. And they rejoiced. In Job chapter 38, they rejoiced when God created the earth. And but they screwed it up. Sort of like you and I. We do that a lot of times. And then he uses, anyway, he says, all this points to the coming of the Antichrist, all of these things. Well, whatever. And he also says that the Antichrist will be a created being created by these watchers. And he also said that the Antichrist and all the men on earth during the 7-year tribulation will be God men. Oh, it's unreal. Now, I recommend that if you want to get into all this, buy the tapes, buy the CDs, rather, listen to it. But I also say, use the Bible at the same time. Pick up your Bible. Now, one of the things I want to point out is, I want you to go, if you will, here. I'm going to give you some things, but I want you to go to Matthew chapter 19, if you will.
Or
chapter 16, rather. Well, I believe all that. I agree with all that. And I believe that they might even create some kind of life.
And they're using them to make, super athletes and stuff like that.
Right. But I'm not going to use that to create a story to sell a book.
They're not really creating themselves, though, because they're taking them out of either...
Absolutely. This is all ungodly. This is all ungodly. It's all demonology. But if I use that and mix it with the Bible to sell a book, I'm really selling God out. I'm selling down the river. So, but this DNA thing and all this cloning and all, this is ungodly, demonic. But the watchers don't have anything to do with it.
We were talking about that the other day. In my effective public speaking. Oh, why should people at the summer? I think it's okay that we should be able to take stem cells, blah blah. And I'm like, God created.
Well, you can take.
God created.
I don't have anything wrong with using stem cells.
From adults.
You can take a stem cell from you.
Or you, or me.
And
it's great to do that because you never have any rejection.
Right, and it does. It works better. It works better than taking a stem cell from an unborn baby. All that stem cell is
is an excuse to kill babies.
Yeah, abortion.
That's all it. But you can take a stem cell from your bone marrow or from your DNA and use it to help you. I don't have a problem with that. That's not. Yeah, you can.
The problem I have with it is that they try to create life on it. Because they're not God.
Yeah, that's true. I have a problem with that too. But when if I can use your stem cell to help heal you, I don't have a problem with that. Well, when they were talking about on this CD, Mount Horeb. They were talking about Mount Horeb. They were trying to use that as the number 33 degrees, which meant something or other, which meant that's where the watchers were. And then the preacher, Noah Hutchings, said, when Christ was on the Mount Horeb, that's where Christ said, I will build my church. Now, so I want you to go to Matthew 16. I forget what chapter I told you. Matthew 16, and go to verse 17, if you will. We're going to take a look at something here. And then if we have enough time, we'll take a look at the watchers and the Nephilim and all these things so you'll understand it, so you won't get wrapped up in all this garbage being put out by these people. I really doubt very much if they're even saved. But I'm going to find out because I'm going to call them tomorrow. Now, verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against it. What rock is he talking about? He's talking about himself. Well, the word rock there is a word petros, and it means a solid rock. Matthew is the rock. Let me give you some verses. Okay? Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 4 to 15. Chapter 32, verses 4 to 15. Jesus Christ is the rock. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, no other foundation can man lay than Jesus Christ, which means he is the rock, the cornerstone. He's also called the cornerstone. Look the word up. He is the rock. The word Peter is another word which means a stone. A stone. The word Peter, notice what he said, thou art Peter. Thou art Peter. The word Peter simply means Petra. It means Petros, rather, a stone. The word Petra is a massive rock. Jesus Christ is Petra. So there's two words here. Jesus Christ is the rock. He's on this rock I will build my church, not a mountain, not a hill, upon himself, you see. So this preacher was wrong. I don't know how a person can be 90 years old, that's what this preacher is, and believe a stupid doctrine like that. And verse 19, long as we're here, might as well explain this verse, because it'll come up eventually someday, sooner or later. And I will give unto thee, Peter, he says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word keys means stewardship. Yeah, we all have the keys to heaven. But as far as having the literal keys, the real keys, Jesus Christ has the keys in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus Christ has the keys. You know, people say, well, I sold my soul to the devil. That's impossible. You cannot sell your soul to the devil.
Yeah.
You can reject Jesus Christ and go to hell, but the devil doesn't own your soul. There's no way he can do that. Revelation chapter 1, 18. Christ says, I have the keys, and nobody else has them. But you have the keys because you have the ability. The keys, what he means is, you have the ability to give the gospel. He goes on to say, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever shall be bound. In other words, if you tell somebody how to be saved and they accept Christ, you see, whatever you loose, whatever you bind, If you bind someone into heaven, you give them the gospel, they believe it, they're bound into heaven. So that's simple enough. Simple enough. Okay. What's that?
My Bible says the keys of hell.
Yeah, the keys of hell. The word is Hades, actually. Yeah, hell is a reasonable translation. Hades is oftentimes translated as hell. It's really Hades. Schofield Bible has it translated Hades, and so does others. But if you wouldn't hurt to make a note there, Hades, H-A-D-E-S.
And that has two compartments.
Paradise, the one part, the one compartment is empty today. The other part of Hades, the other side, which is called torments, that's still open today. Okay, now let's go on, if you will. Oh, I got some notes on this guy, I'm telling you, but I don't want to spend all evening on him. But another thing he says is in the book of Revelation where the word apollyon is used. Yeah, he said the word apollyon is symbolic of the god Apollos, the Greek word. Well, the god Apollos is a Greek word, spelled different, spelled Apolliana, Apollonia, and it's a pagan deity, but the word Apollyon means destroyer, to destroy fully. What's that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the word apo, which is half of the word, which is used for a lot of Greek words, apo, apo means something near separation, departure, you see. So you can use that word apo for a lot of words. It can mean Apollos, it can mean Apollyon, Apollyani, Apollyana, it means all kinds of things. So just to say that it means Apollos, the god, is stupid. Absolutely stupid. I can't wait to tell him what I think.
I mean, like in Hebrew, it's Abaddon. Does that mean the same thing with mean destroyer?
I think so. Look it up. Yes.
So I will get my Strong's.
Well, you can look it up later. Then he takes the word 1776 when the United States of America signed their independence from. He uses the word and divides it in half, comes up with 888 for the first Messiah, 888 for the second Messiah. You really got to reach to come up with this stuff. You really got to reach out to come up with this kind of stuff.
888, that's not even in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible. Not the way he uses it. But he divides the date, 1776, as being symbolic. The only thing it's symbolic of is the United States of America literally began in 1776. That's what it's symbolic of. It doesn't mean anything else.
And the Marine Corps, too.
Yeah. But he goes on to say that the New World Order, he uses that word that you've all heard, it's on your dollar bill, and he uses that and makes a big deal out of it. And then he goes on to quote these things from Greek mythology and mingles it with the Bible, and the guy's just a flat-out idiot. But he'll probably make millions of dollars on his book. They have more power to him. And they're building another Tower of Babel. Well, no, they're not. The city that they're building is south of the original Babylon. It's not in that spot. It's close, but it's not in it. And even if it was, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. But they try to make a big deal out of that. And then they go on to say that they mix Babylon of Revelation with the United States of America and New York City and Washington, D.C. What have we been talking about?
Come on, for my people.
Yeah. What have we been talking about? Yeah, and I'm going to bring that up when I call him. One of the things I'm going to ask him is, if I can get in touch with this Dr. Hutchings, is, do you believe the United States is Babylon? If he says yes, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to come out and help you pack your bags because you better leave.
Yeah.
I can't wait to talk to these people. I hate false doctrine, folks.
Oh, yes.
I don't overlook it. I don't condone it. I don't like it. I hate it. God hates it. The Bible hates it. And I hate it. I just hate false religion. I can put up with a lot of things. I don't like politicians either. But
yeah.
False religion, I really hate. But anyhow, he quotes ancient texts in connection with the Bible. And he uses ancient Egyptian texts and all these other things, mixes them with the Bible. But let's take a look, if you will, at the word watchers. So turn over, if you will, to Daniel chapter 4. Now we're going to take a look at the word watchers and watcher, only used four times in the Bible, okay? Only used four times in the Bible, and nowhere is it used in connection with Nephilim in Genesis chapter 6. Nowhere. We're going to Daniel chapter 4. And we're going to go to a couple of verses here, verse 13, verse 23, and verse 17, okay? In verse 13, Daniel chapter 4, I saw my visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and the Holy One came down from heaven. And then in verse 17, if you will, this matter, now this is concerning Nebuchadnezzar's vision of a great tree, okay? And in verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Now go to verse 23, if you will. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. Pass over him. Now, the word watcher here in all three verses is a Chaldean word. It's not Hebrew. It's I-Y-R, and it means angel or guardian. But I want you to notice something very important here. In verse 13, let's look at that verse again. In the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. Yeah. Always mingled with the holy one, wasn't it? The watcher. Now go to verse 17 here once more. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. The decree of the watchers. Who is it that makes decrees? God does. The watchers do not make prophecy. Only God does. And the demand by the word of the holy ones. Whose word? Holy ones. God's word. And to the intent that the living may know that... Now, here's why we have the word of the holy ones and the demand and the decree. To the intent that the living may know, that's those who are saved, by the way, not the dead, the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. So the watchers are synonymous with the Holy One, the Word of God, the decree.
Is this like another example of the Trinity?
Probably, but I'm more inclined to think that it's just guardian angels, and they're just obeying God's Word.
They're just bringing the message.
Yeah, bringing the message, fulfilling God's Word. Angels do that. And you'll have to notice that it also says that they came down from heaven. None of the fallen angels are in heaven. They're in the heavens, but not the heaven, not God's heaven. So these are not fallen angels. So you see what he's making up here? And then in verse 23, you'll see that the watchers, and notice once again, a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew the tree down, in other words, fulfill the prophecy. They're establishing prophecy. Only God can do that. The watchers cannot do it. Now, the word here is I-Y-R in all three places, and it's a called-in word. Now then, go to Jeremiah chapter 4, if you will, verse 16. The word watchers is used one more time, and these are the only places that it's used. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 16. Now, the word watchers here is a Hebrew word. And remember, most of Daniel was written in Chaldean language. Jeremiah was written in Hebrew. And the word here in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 16 is Netzar, N-A-T-S-A-R, and it means guard, protect, obey. And it also means mankind. Guard, protect, and obey. Guard, protect, and obey. Let me ask you a question. If this was Satan's angels...
No,
they wouldn't be protecting, they wouldn't be obeying, they've never obeyed.
Can't you just tell by the context of the verse that the watchers are different?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Why would they mingle with the holy?
Yeah, they don't, yeah. But he's trying to make a big deal out of it, sell a book. But notice in verse 16 here, and I want you to see, to get the context of this verse. Make mention to the nations. Behold, publish against Jerusalem. Publish means declare. Well, what is it that declares? God's word, right? Watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of watchers. Once again, it's divine, in reference to divine. Publish, make notice, mention. The watchers come from a far country, even though it's a different word, same thing. And they give out their voice against the cities of Judah. God's proclamation. Isn't that simple? Nowhere does the Bible say that the watchers had anything to do with taking DNA and creating superhuman or ultra-human or animalistic human beings. And I can't wait to call them up and tell them. Now, let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6, if you will. Take a look at the word Nephilim. And some people make a big deal out of this word, and but it's no big deal. The word Nephilim is very simple. Now, the word Nephilim won't be in your Bible, okay? Verse 4, Genesis chapter 6. Actually, it's N-E-P-H-E-V-M, Nephibim. Verse 4. Okay, there were giants in the earth in those days, not mutants, not mutants, yeah. Doesn't mean they were 30 feet tall. Giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Notice that very important phrase. After that. You know, when Noah got off the boat, there were giants after that. There were giants in those days when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. And the same became mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Why were they giants? They were mighty men. Men of renown. Men of old. Sons of God. Fallen angels. How did they do that? Demonology. They came in and possessed a man's body. He probably didn't know it. Why were they giants? Giants actually should be giants against God. Make a note in your Bible. Giants against God. Don't we have the same thing today? Nothing has changed. Doesn't mean they were 10 feet tall, 20 feet tall. Doesn't mean that at all. Even though there were some giants, the Anak were giants. They were big men. Yeah, remember Goliath was a giant. He was a big guy. But then David brought him down to size, didn't he?
Yep.
Put a great big hole in his forehead, and then he cut his head off.
Yep.
Yeah. But he, just because he was a big guy, but that's not what the word giant means. Simply demonology. Now let's go over, if you will, and we're going to take another little bit look at this word in, Numbers chapter 13, I believe it is. Numbers chapter 13. And then we'll give you some definitions here, okay? Numbers chapter 13. And let's see here. In verse 22, notice in verse 22, and they ascended by the south, really should be Negev, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, I'm not going to mention all them names, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. The Anak were giants. Verse 33. Now you read the whole thing and you'll see that the nation of Israel went to spy out the land. Look at verse 28. Then we'll go on. Okay, verse 28. When they went in to spy out the land, they carried all this great big fruit home with them. And verse 28. Now, God already told them they could have the land. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Notice what they said. The people are strong that dwell in the land. Then the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the, your Bible might say, coast, that's probably correct, of the Jordan. And Caleb said to the people before Moses, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Let me ask you a question. These are the same kind of people that we see in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The same kind of people. They don't have horses' heads, and who knows what kind of body, nothing like that. They're just strong, powerful. The real thing is, though, we'll get on here a little bit. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Then on down in verse, towards the end of the verse, to the land through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. Now, that doesn't mean that they're Hulk Hogans. They could be. But they're not saying that. I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian, there's going to be a lot of people you won't witness to because you think they look like a giant. Ooh, man, I ain't saying nothing to him. He'll kill me. That's how they looked at it. They were afraid of them. Fear. Verse 33. Then we're going to give you some definitions of some words here. We've got time yet. And then they went on to say, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, who come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. In other words, the giants were giants in their own sight. And the giants were giants in Israel's sight. There's always going to be a giant in your sight. You know that? Always going to be. But I'm not going to write a book about it and say they were created by the watchers. Pretty stupid. But anyhow, the word giants, there's a couple of words here. The word giants is up in verse 33, is the word gibor. Now there's two words here. The first word for giants is the word Nephil, is where the word Nephilim comes from. Same word, basically. And it literally means a bully or a tyrant. I don't know about you, but I hate a bully. Oh, when I was in high school and even grade school, there was always the bully. They weren't giants, but they made everybody think they were, didn't they? That's all it means, a bully or a giant. And then the other word there, the other giant, notice there's two words for giant in this verse, but the first word is Nephil, and it simply means a bully or a tyrant, same as Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. The second word is G-I-B-B-O-W-R, and it means mighty, warrior, and powerful. I don't see anywhere where that says they were 9 feet tall, do you? They could have been. But they were just men. They weren't created by the Watchers with some strange DNA talent. Pretty stupid, isn't it? And then there's another word, and I'm not even going to give you the location, but the word giants is used, and it's the word R-A-P-H-A-N. And it simply means invigorating. Well, it's used in 2 Samuel chapter 21. That's one place. You'll see the word there. It simply means invigorating. That's all it means.
2 Samuel 21?
Yeah. 2 Samuel chapter 21. He's the whole. Daryl?
I was listening to, I like Chuck Missler. I think he's got some good messages, but.
Who?
Chuck Missler.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've listened to some of his tapes. You guys have given me some.
A lot of it's good, but I mean, he was talking about the verse at the site of grasshoppers.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually thinking that the men were that small, they look, you know, they look like grasshoppers, that the other people were that big. But what he didn't mention is...
He didn't say that. Did he actually say that?
Yeah, he said that. And, but then we, in our own state, they're talking about their stature, how small and weak they were.
It's how they felt.
How they felt, yeah.
Yeah.
In their own sight, and he said in their sight, too, that's how they felt, you know?
Yeah, that's, yeah, if you read the whole thing, it's very simple, isn't it? Yeah, to say that they were literal small as grasshoppers, that's pretty foolish. Yeah, it says all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And I'll bet, and I haven't done it, but if you look the word stature up, I don't think it'll mean a great big tall human being that's about that big wide. Yeah, it means, you know, a lot of people have a large stature, but that doesn't make them big, you know. They might be mentally stature or their personality or whatever. Stature comes in all kinds of different sizes and categories. But yeah, they looked, they said they looked to us, made us feel like grasshoppers, basically, is what they were saying. Yeah, Chuck Missler actually said that?
Yeah.
Wow, that's unreal.
He said, this is what he said some places where, you know, he says, you got to take stuff literally that you know, he says, I'm going to take stuff literally. And then I'm thinking, I mean, yeah, there's big guys out there, but to say they were that big, that kind of like stuck in my head, and then you just mentioned that. And it says in our own state and their state, so they're feeling weak, and they're feeling like...
They have no confidence or faith in themselves.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. The bottom line is they just didn't trust God.
I mean, I like his stuff, but when he says that, I mean, some of the stuff like the cosmic codes and stuff that he does kind of off the wall, because I'll show you everything.
That's the only way to have any stature is to have the voice of the scale.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you something. When you use God's word, you have stature. Now, people might not like it. They might reject it. But God's word gives you stature, whether you're a big person or not. But, yeah, they thought they were small as grasshoppers.
Yeah, I'll make the CD for you.
That's unreal.
You can listen to it.
Okay. Yeah, I have some of those tapes. Some of you guys have been giving me tapes from Rashi. Is that how you say it?
Robbie,
that's it. Yeah. Robbie and Chuck Mishler and some of your other... I listen to all that stuff. I always compare it with the Bible, so it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant to me, but this stuff here that I've been giving you tonight, this is way out.
Has it ever been committed?
Huh? I don't know.
He's older. Maybe his mind's going.
I don't know. But the guy by the name of Tom Horn that wrote the book, and he was talking to on the show. But I want to give you now, we have a few minutes left, I'm going to give you some references concerning the Antichrist, and you can read these in your own time, okay? And I'll give you some of the things here, and I'm going to give you a lot of verses, okay? So be ready to write. I'll give them to you, and I'll make sure that you have time. Okay, and when we're done with this, we'll definitely be out of time, okay? The Antichrist, he's called the Man of Sin. 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to give you some reference here. Chapter 2. He's called other things in verse 3, 4, 8, and 12. When you write that, just write 2nd, T-H-E-S-S, period.
Yeah.
Make it easy on yourself. He's called the one that shall come. Just write shall come. 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 13.
Does Jesus have a reference like that? As coming?
Yes, he does.
What would be the parallel, kind of like a...
A parallel to that?
Contrast.
Well, I don't know. I'd say probably the best contrast would be Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 through whatever. I'd say that would be the best contrast, Contrast, yeah. There are others, but that would probably be the best. He's called, let's see, shall come, already is. His spirit is already in the world, so you can put down, already is. And that's also in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Getting it? Wonderful.
Yeah, 4 verses 3?
Yeah, 4 verses 3. He's also a counterfeit. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Then you might put down, well, we can give you more verses. I think that ought to be enough. You ought to be able to find, see it in there, okay? Power from the dragon. That's where he gets his power. Revelation. Also, you might write down blasphemy and his mark. And he's a man. He's not going to be something phenomenal, the Antichrist. He will just be a man. And with all those verses, the power from dragon, blasphemy, he's a man, and his mark. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, verse 6, and verses 16 through 18, all in the same chapter. He will be an Assyrian. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5 through 27. He will be an Assyrian.
Isaiah 10 what?
Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5 through 27. And notice throughout those verses the words, that day.
That day.
That day is used in reference to the tribulation. What did you say, Ben? Yeah, I'm going to give you those verses too. Yeah. He will also be Jewish. That's not hard to believe. Paul was a Roman citizen living in Tarsus. He was also Jewish. He will be Jewish. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 25 and 27. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and chapter 11, verse 37 and 38. He will be Jewish. Not married. Personally, I think homosexual is the word. Or queer, whatever you want to use. Daniel chapter 11, verse 37. That's good. Use it. Also, okay, how am I doing so far? Keeping up?
Yeah.
All right. He will be an oratorial genius. He'll make me look stupid. Oratorial. In other words, a good speaker. In case you wonder what that means. O-R-A-T-O-R-I-A-L. Oratorial genius. Daniel chapters 7 and 8. He'd read the whole chapters. What's that? Yeah, good deceiver. Good speaker. Good politician. Daniel chapters 7 and 8, various verses there, and Revelation chapters 13 and 17. Military genius. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2.
Revelation 6,
2? Yep. A religious genius. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. A financial genius. Boy, the world's looking for that, aren't they? A financial genius. Daniel chapter 11, verse 43.
The Proverbs, the liars love lies.
Yeah. Also, to go along with all the others, a deceiver. A deceiver. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Promise peace. Everybody's looking for that too? Oh, we need peace.
Yeah.
Promise peace. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. He makes a covenant with Israel. They think there's going to be perfect peace. Also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. No big deal. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. He will exalt himself. Exalt self. Got all this other stuff? Got it? Okay. Exalt self.
I'll try to get these recordings up there if you missed something.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 to 28. Good answer. Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 to 28. He will exalt himself. Called the abomination of desolation. And so forth. Okay, you got that so far? Okay. Yeah. Also, there's more verses to go along with that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. And finally, in exalt self, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17. Some of these are in reference to Satan, who will be manipulating the Antichrist. Same thing. And then some extra verses I'm going to give you just to go along with the whole ball of wax. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 to 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 5. And I hope I got all this right, because you'll let me know, I'm sure. And Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 12. And that's it.
Keep it busy, right?
Yeah, those are all descriptions of the Antichrist. What I would do, write them down on a piece of paper somewhere, put them with your notes, or glue them or stick them in the back of your Bible on the cover, like here. Don't put them on the inside. The last time I did that to my Bible, I had notes stuck on the inside, blew the binding out.
You might tape them on there or something, too.
Yeah, I put, for something like that, I would put here, I'd type it out real neat, tape it right there, then you'd always have it, you see? All right, that's what I would do. Okay, any questions? Okay, all I can say in closing is be careful, the watchers are coming.
You're a joker.
Hey, just kidding a little bit. Frankly, the watchers are already here.
Yep.
You know, God's angels have a lot of duties. Did you know that? And one of their duties is to watch over you.
Yep.
You know the Bible says that you have an angel watching over you? You have an angel watching over you. That's why I like to keep the lights off. I don't want to see what I'm doing. But anyway. And no questions, let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word contradicts the enemy, contradicts all those who try to take your word and use it for their own evil gains. There's a lot of that. And we thank you for your word that answers every question. You just can't beat it. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Pastor Dan.